Go all in on exciting gaming action or celebrate at 12 great restaurants, 6 bars and lounges, nightly entertainment, and more. Book your stay today at GreightonResortCasino.com.
Your parents took care of you. Then, one day, you start caring for them. It's one of those moments when people realize that where you get your medicine matters. And they look to CVS Pharmacy for advice and ways to save money. Plus, you can earn up to 50 extra bucks rewards each year just for filling prescriptions. So join us at CVS Pharmacy. Terms and conditions apply. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other state restrictions apply. See CVS.com/pharmacy rewards or the pharmacy for details.
I drink beer because I should. If there was a song to sing, I sing it and beer you bring.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! It's good!
And now, from Napa Valley, California, it's Beer Nuts featuring brewmaster Colin Kaminsky.
Welcome to Beer Nuts, KVON 1440. It's another beautiful, foggy beer-drinking morning here in the Napa Valley. Just got back from Nashville myself, so I'm a little bit foggy today myself. I'm sitting in the studio with Big Daddy Love, John Herkins.
Hey, what's going on out there, Beer Nuts? We got a special guest today also.
We do. We've got Joe Peatman from Downtown Joe's. How are you doing this morning, Joe?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me here today and looking forward to this hour.
Thanks for coming in. It's been over 3 years since you've been on the show.
It's been about a year and a half.
No, we had Natalie last.
Yeah, it was Natalie, but he was here about a year and a half ago.
Okay. Well, we'll have to go through the archives.
You're saying 3 years?
Yeah, no. I think so. It's been a while.
All right.
Well, it's good to have you, Joe.
Thank you.
I was at CBC, the Craft Brewers Conference in Nashville, all last week. And I'd never been to Nashville. I was actually really impressed. I was expecting, I was expecting it to be like East Texas or something, a little tiny dust bowl town. And no, it was beautiful, lush and green and amazing food and really friendly people. And
so you're moving?
Nope, I'm not moving, but boy, I sure liked it. I am the least country person in the world, and I had a great time, really enjoyed it. I was really pleasantly surprised at all the culture. We were walking down, the first night we were there, our reservations didn't quite work out for us. So we just kind of were walking around and picked a restaurant that was an old converted garage and had some of the best, I don't even know how to describe it. It was, some of the dishes were European, some were Mediterranean, and some were Middle East. But all were done just excellently and not what you would expect. And, you'd order something thinking, oh, it's just going to be what I always get when I see something like this on the menu. And it would be something unique and a fresh idea on the plate. And and every meal was like that. Every meal was just something surprising.
So speaking of meals, what's the latest and greatest for Joe's? I know we just did a menu change and what's your favorite new item? I know my favorite new item is the shrimp wraps that you have, the spicy shrimp wraps. It's very delicious. It's big jumbo prawns. It seems like they put a lot on there, and you actually get when you think of a wrap, you think it's not going to be too hearty, but I've actually done it for a meal a few times, so it's a nice portion-wise. Which one is your new favorite, Joe?
I like the two new burgers, the bacon-infused Oberon burger, and the Gruyere cheese, the arugula that's tossed in the olive oil, all of these flavors now that we're getting in these two hamburgers that are pretty different than your standard lettuce and tomato.
Yeah, and the Oberon is named after your building.
Yeah, the Oberon building has always been there at 902 Main Street. It's always been a place where visitors to Napa have met locals for 125 years, and pretty much that's what we like to keep doing. We got a great local base that loves Downtown Joe's, and every weekend, Thursday through Sunday. We got visitors coming from all over the country and the world that come and enjoy the location and meet up with the locals and interchange their ideas and things to do in Napa and a little bit about life here. And I think it's a good thing for the visitors to have that place where they can just have conversations with people that live here and find out what life is like. And on the most part, most of them would like to move here.
Oh, yeah.
We hear that well. And I'd happily introduce them to great realtors in town should they take the big step.
You know, I see people sit at the bar a lot with the real estate flyers, looking at different places and chatting quietly with each other. And
yeah, it's great to compare where you live, how much it costs for a home, and then when you travel and what they're paying. And I think it's very interesting for people to see what California prices are. And, you know, Napa is not one of the higher areas in California. San Francisco, the East Bay, South Bay are all so much more expensive than here. So there's still good values here in Napa.
In 88, I moved to Napa because it was where I could afford to live.
Mm-hmm.
But things have gone up a lot. It was, you know, $120,000 three-bedroom homes back then.
Not no more. What's funny, though, from what Joe was talking about, a lot of locals go to Downtown Joe's, and, you know, it's been an established business for 25 years. And actually, which is funny when he's talking about the locals, there's actually been locals that were plan where they're going to rent their next place in Napa according to how far away from the actual pub.
Right.
Which is very interesting. They're like, well, this one's a little bit more, but it's closer to you guys, so I think I'm going to go with this one. So that just goes to show that people are actually making decisions sometimes, not only on location, but locations of a great brew pub.
You know, so we kind of drifted by something really quick there, John. What is a bacon-infused burger? Do you guys grind the bacon into the ground beef?
Not exactly. It is hand-pressed. The bacon is pre-cooked. We cook the bacon and then chop it into a real fine, almost a coarse pepper size piece of the bacon. And then we knead it into the patty. We make those patties a little bit smaller and thicker than the bun, and then right before we put them on the grill, spread them out, press them down, and it just makes a real fresh bacony.
We also have the Impossible Burger on the menu, and Joe, you could probably explain exactly what Impossible Burger is, and then I'll come back to this, a couple stories that I've had recently on this burger.
Well, the Impossible Burger is a potato whey and wheat whey patty that we say it, that's the patty that vegetable patty that bleeds. And how can that be? Well, I don't know how it can be, but when we put it on the griddle and start cooking it, it browns up and juices come out like they're coming out of a meat product, but it's all vegetable.
And which is interesting because I've actually had people say that, are you sure? Like, are you sure this is not
beef?
I'm a vegetarian. Is this, are you positive? I'm like, yes, it's the Impossible Burger. That's why it's impossibly tastes like it's not, but that's why they've called it that. And it's happened a few times where people would even like, are you positive? And like, yes. You know, that's how close it actually tastes to, I guess, a real beef product. So, and I've actually had one, and it tastes really good. I mean, you cannot distinguish that easily from this product, the Impossible Burger, which is the potato-based burger, to from a regular meat patty, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, we don't put any cheese on that burger because it's got great flavor. And we serve it with sweet potato fries, so it's a healthy alternative to having a cheeseburger.
Is it vegan? There's no dairy in it?
There's no dairy in it.
Wow, that's amazing.
So should we pop one of these beers? We have a couple of different styles. I know we have the one that you brought from the college, and we also have a couple of Downtown Joe's brews that I brought. I found some old growlers laying around. That
You certainly did.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, pick one of the Joe's brews, John.
All right, well, we have two.
You might know what they are.
Yeah, so this one is the bitter. I'm not sure if this is one of your recipes or Brian's or Lance or Do you remember whose recipe this bitter?
This is the
Tail Wagon West Coast bitter?
Yes, the okay. West Coast.
Yep.
Okay, so the West Coast bitter is sort of a variation on one of Brian's first recipes that I changed while I was there.
Okay.
We did it exactly the same for years and years and years, and I saw the sales volume just kind of declining on it. So I gave it a little bit of an update, brought in, simplified the hop bill a little bit to use some of the more modern hops and showcase them instead of just having a blend of hops that nobody remembered anymore, nobody recognized. Well, this recipe actually started in Willits, and we carried it over.
So this is one of the original beers that I guess was transferred over with a little bit of modification from...
Yeah, a little bit of modification from back then. Brian makes one at Moonlight that's very similar, but he decided to pick five different hops than we... Downtown Joe's recipes were all built on five hops. When he opened Moonlight, he kind of decided to do the same thing, but to make everything different, he chose five completely different hops to make all of his unique so that it didn't taste like the same.
So what were the five hops for Joe's?
Chinook, Nugget, Tetning, Cascade, and Willamette were the original five hops. Now JJ's stocking 11 hops to build the recipes.
I know he's been doing some Mosaic lately.
Yeah, he's right before I left, I got a contract for 100 pounds of Mosaic, and it was really hard to get at that time. So he's got 100 pounds of Mosaic to play with.
Okay, so with this bitter, I always get like people that are not from United States. Once they see that, they're like, "Wow, I haven't seen one of these in a long time." Or, you know, this is what I call the happy hour beer. Most of the guys, Joe, that come, you
drink know, every day yeah, there.
You know, every other day or once a week, they come from like 4 to 6 during our happy hour, which is doing really good. I mean, Joe's is pretty much known for happy hour. If you want to meet some of the locals, that's the time to come. That's when all the regulars to get off work or, you know, meet up, play dominoes, you know, tell their stories, and they converse well with new travelers. So this beer is what I call the happy hour beer. It's been around for a while, and most of the regulars that come during happy hour are drinking the bitter. And heaven forbid we run out.
Right?
Right? This is an uprising.
The sales volume are such that there's only ever one tank on the property, so it gets a little hard right at the end to time it just right.
Yeah. So how would you explain this beer, Joe? How do you – it's kind of a bitter English style or
– Yeah, it's got lots of hops without the real high alcohol, and that's what they love in London is getting that palate full of prickly hops, strong mouthful, and then you can drink it with a good size guzzle, and you're not going to get too much alcohol too fast.
Right, it's only about 5.5, so yeah, it's not overwhelming. The recipe, interestingly, the recipe was made before IPAs were a thing. You didn't see IPAs in brew pubs, and it was kind of like the beginning of building a hoppier beer. Predates IPAs being popular by about 15 years. So, now, I think they would call it a red IPA or something like that. Yeah. If they were building this recipe again,
I think the reason that the regular drinkers, have been coming to Downtown Joe's for 20 years. And before that, when it was Willits, go to this beer is because as you're drinking a beer a day or a couple of beers each week, your palate tends to look for something a little bit more of a bite as they progress. And they drink one beer for a particular long time, like an amber, and then they're kind of your mouth is wanting a little bit stronger of the bite. And this was the strongest bite that we had on our recipes. So
before the IPA craze, right?
Yeah, before the IPA craze. So eventually they would climb the ladder to get to the bitter, and then nothing else gave them that mouthful that they wanted like the bitter did. Now we have IPAs and double IPAs and plenty of other options for that, but I think that's kind of how it became the happy hour beer, the regulars beer, was that forceful mouthful of flavor.
And well, and interestingly, you know, 20 years ago when I first, well, even 22 years ago or something, when I first went to Joe's, once you got to this beer, you couldn't go anywhere else and find anything this bitter. So you would go, you know, you'd go to Harry O'Shortle's was still around. You'd go somewhere else and you'd drink a beer and it was like, oh, this is just so bland. And it kind of drove you back to Joe's. And
yeah, like I said, this one has been around. So I brought, and then I brought a newer one that we'll drink a little bit later that JJ has brewed, which is the newest on the line at Downtown Joe's. So we have something to look forward to after we get done with this delicious beer. I don't know. Did you want to talk about the Silverado? Since you are the founding father of the
founding sponsor of the Napa Silverados, their inaugural season this year, they start May 31st here at Napa College for the first game. They'll be here again on June 1st, and then they hit the road. You can pick up a calendar at Downtown Joe's of their games, but we now have professional baseball in Napa that's been underway for about 2.5 years. Tito Fuentes is the coach or manager of the team, and we're looking forward to seeing the talent that he has circled around him, and this should be exciting, fun baseball. Not quite as established as the major leagues. This league is a lot of fun. There's teams from San Rafael, Martinez, Richmond, Santa Rosa, and now Napa, and hoping another team will join this league in the next year. So good professional baseball. There's going to be young guys that are trying to break into the major leagues. There's going to be ex-major leaguers that just don't want to stop playing baseball but aren't getting contracts in the major leagues any longer. So there'll be a good mix of people, lots of fun out there at the Napa College. So we hope to see all of you people that listen to Beer Nuts out there checking out some baseball, because beer and baseball are
They're gonna have
food. Like a hand in a glove.
Yeah, our regular guest, Merrick McCreig, runs a hospitality program at Napa JC, and they bought a food truck, and they've trained the kids to work it, and the chefs, the training chefs there, made all the recipes, and they did a bunch of really fun takes on traditional baseball foods. Gave them all fun names, and they're all really excited to get out there and run the food truck for the college. So,
well, speaking of the college,
oh, right? Let's try JJ's first. Let's do this. Let's do this one last.
That was a perfect run-in right
there.
Yeah. All right. You're just going to have to wait to see what kind of beer that is right there. But this is J.J. John Fittipaldi, the fourth, I might add, which I am the fourth also. So this is, I guess, the first lager that I've ever seen from Downtown Joe's. Is this the first one that
We usually tried to do about a lager a year or two.
Okay.
Lager yeasts are different for us.
So what's the difference in the process? Does it have to do with the cold?
Lagers are fermented colder, and yeast works more slowly when it's cold, so it's a longer process.
Okay. So this one is called the Sunset. That's the name.
Sunset Red.
Yeah. Name now. I heard we might change the name, just so anyone out there listening, if we do change the name, just tell me what to try the red lager, which is on tap right now. And the Happy Hour West Coast Bitter is always on tap. So we're getting ready to try this, and I'd like your feedback on this one, because this one's fairly new for Joe's. I don't think we've ever done this style. I could be wrong, but I can't remember.
Yeah, the Sunset Red's a really old name that we've used for lagers. Lance came up with a name when he was there.
Okay.
And so every once in a while, we break it out. Historically, it's been a very popular concept, even though every time it's been brewed, the recipe's been a little different. It smells really good. I'll have to ask JJ what he decided to do and change.
So you weren't in on this one at all? This
was I told him, he was asking, just before I stopped consulting, he was asking, well, I need to do a special, what should I do? And I looked up at all the signs and I said, well, we haven't done a Sunset Red Lager in a long time. You could borrow a yeast from Brian. I'm sure he'd gladly loan you a lager yeast. And he has a good one that's easy to use. And then when I left, he was looking through the logbooks for old recipes, because we have every recipe we've ever made in a logbook, so he was going through looking at recipes. But then I didn't hear that it was scheduled for a brew day or anything like that.
So what's the difference between this red lager and like an amber?
Well, a lager yeast behaves very differently. So when we look at ale yeasts, we can trace their genealogy back. They diverted from wild yeasts. If we kind of do genetic dating, it looks like they diverted about 10 or 12,000 years ago from wild yeast. And ale yeasts, we see them produce wine, we see them produce meads, we see them produce beers. And then for some really random reason, in about 1500, we see this weird variant of yeast, this genetically deformed yeast, in the caves of Carlsberg, Germany. And it started producing the first beers. The caves were very cold, and they were fermenting in the caves. And the ale yeast just didn't want to work. So this new yeast tried to take over those fermentations. And it had some interesting properties. Some the gene mutations, some are good, and some are a little weird. It leaves the beers tasting a little different, sometimes a little bit sulfury, which is hard for brewers to cope with. We have tricks that we've learned to do with that yeast to make it less sulfury. And then lagers took over the world. Now 96% of the beers, something like that, are lagers, gallonage-wise, produced in the world. But almost all of craft brewing was built on ales.
So right now you're saying 90% is lagers.
I think, yeah. So all of Bud, all of Coors, all of Miller, okay. all of those big brands that you think of.
Heineken.
Heineken.
Amstel, world brands as well as the States brands.
I think the only really big major brand I can think of that's an ale worldwide is Guinness. Guinness is the number one selling beer, or at least it was last time I looked about 10 years ago, the number one selling beer in Africa, which is a huge market.
You wouldn't think that, but yeah. You think it'd be hot, you want like a light beer.
You know, I don't know why. I know in Africa they have a really hard time getting barley. So the Guinness produced there is often produced in a sorghum base. Which is a totally different process of mashing sorghum than mashing barley.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Guinness licenses their technology worldwide. And if you can produce a good, clean beer, you can apply to produce Guinness. And Guinness ships you the things that you can't get locally in order to make Guinness succeed. And they bring quality control in The original brewing instructor at UC Davis developed that program for them before he went to UC Davis in 1963.
There you go. That's a lot of information right there, Colin.
listening to him tell those stories is really fun.
So we have some things going on at Downtown Joe's. We always have some things actually going down at Downtown Joe's. Today we have tonight's karaoke, which is always a pretty good hit. Anyone out there that wants to sing, we do a great karaoke. Also, we're going to have some basketball and hockey. Hockey's pretty big, too, lately.
And the Major League Baseball's
Baseball.
Up and running, and we're watching that on our big screens as well.
This is always a hard time for, I know you and me, Joe, when people want to watch sports. And we think we have a lot of TVs, but this time of year seems to be one of the hardest times to get, like, all the A's, the Giants, the Warriors, the Sharks aren't in it anymore. But get everybody, on the screen is sometimes.
Yeah, as soon as you get it all set up and, all right, everybody's got what they want, somebody walks in and says, do you have the Tampa Bay hockey game on? I got to watch it.
And, or golf or, you're like, yeah. What? Or, you have the Pac-10 or Pac-12 now network, which is pretty cool. That way I think we're probably one of the only businesses that actually have that. So we get a lot of people that want to watch, you know, the Pac-12.
Girls volleyball because their niece is playing at Washington State or something like that. So we try to accommodate it for anybody who wants to watch whatever they want to watch.
And I guess you got some stuff going on for Mother's Day. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that.
You know, Downtown Joe's has got the patio that is really the big draw for our restaurant. And there's nothing more comfortable than a really pretty sunny day to come and have brunch. There's on the brunch menu is lots of lunch items, lots of breakfast items. It's not a buffet. It's just you order from the menu what you'd like. And it's real comfortable and a pretty setting to bring your mother and celebrate mothers. And shoot, I've got my mom still here in town with us. I got to celebrate with her. My wife is a three-time mother and very concerned that her attention is at the top foremost of all of her children on Mother's Day. And now I've got a daughter-in-law that's a two-time mother, so our family's going to be busy celebrating probably for the whole weekend. It's also my son's 30th birthday. Keel, happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Today is his birthday, but we'll be celebrating that this weekend, too. So he has to, and he always does. His birthday falls so close to Mother's Day, he always has to compete with his wife and his mother for that attention that week. But we try to spread it around as much as we can.
Also, there's endless, bottomless mimosas going on, and all the moms out there get a flower when they come to Downtown Joe's on Mother's Day. It's just, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we love celebrating all celebrations at Downtown Joe's. In fact, we try to create some celebrations just because there's a hole in the week and there's nothing going on. Well, we'll throw a party around that. Today is the nothing going on party.
Rain, come on down. We have a lot of sports on. And at karaoke, and we also you have a lot of bands. So for Thursday, you have Jimmy James, which is pretty much an icon in Napa, one of these older musicians that, you know, never wants to stop playing, and he keeps playing, and he's pretty dang good at it. So he'll be there on Thursday, and then Levi Lloyd will be there. He does a lot of rock and blues, and he's great. And then we're also going to have Jinx Jones, so that'll be the loud night if you guys want to come down.
Saturday's Jinx Jones, a rockabilly trio. They're great. Stand-up bass. It's very Stray Cat-ish. Stray Cats, similar music.
Jinx Jones is one of my favorites that plays Napa. Yeah,
they'll be there on Saturday, so that'll be a good night to come out if you want to start celebrating Mother's Day a little bit earlier and beat some of the crowds that are going to be there on Sunday. So,
we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts.
Hi, it's Sharpie, now Captain Sharpie. I invite you to come aboard my spacious and comfortable boat, the Blue Sky, for a cruise on the Napa River. Blue Sky Napa River Cruises offers daily 3-hour cruises and custom cruises. No shoes required. Celebrate birthdays, anniversaries, office getaways, or just come and soak up some sun. Hey, it's time for boat drinks. Book in May or June and get 25% off. Relax. Take a cruise on the Blue Sky. For more information and to book a cruise, go to blueskycruise.com.
Community Grapevine.
You're invited to join us for Festival Napa Valley's 13th annual summer season, July 20th through the 29th, where the world's best classical, jazz, and dance artists perform in iconic Napa Valley settings. This summer, there are more free concerts than ever to choose from. Sundays at the Symphony, the Festival Live Chamber Music Series, the Grand Cru Piano Series, and more. Check out the complete festival schedule and reserve your seats now at festivalnapavalley.org. It's the 10 best days of summer.
Psst, Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It was a clear black night, a clear What's up? This is Warren G. You know what I'm saying? I'm here giving it up for Rad because they do a lot of good things for people. Before you drink, make sure that you got somebody that can drive your butt home so you won't crash or get pulled over and get a DUI. So go ahead and follow the route and everything will be cool. And don't be no fools. Peace, baby. Warren G.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Of course I talk to the kids about cell phone use when they're driving. I tell them not to call their friends and never, never text anyone.
That's smart. Do you think they listen?
They're good kids. I think I made it clear they could get hurt or worse if they take their eyes off the road for even a second. They understand we have rules and their dad and I expect them to follow those rules. Oh, this is important. Excuse me while I answer this text.
Show your teen how to be a responsible driver by being one yourself. Texting while driving? It's not worth it. A message from the California Highway Patrol and the California Office of Traffic Safety.
GEICO presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno live on the scene of a recent robbery, here to describe the event, a recliner.
So, I'm taking my afternoon nap, when suddenly I hear a commotion. As I look up, two dudes wearing ski masks run out the door with a flat-screen TV.
Did you chase after them?
I can't run with claw feet.
Your recliner can't help in a robbery, but the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property loss. Go to geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! And stop! Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good!
Let's go drink some beer!
Beer!
Geeking out with Beer Nuts.
Welcome back to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. You know, those guys really deserve an A for enthusiasm on their liking of beer there. It's always one of my favorite clips.
And the one that goes, beer! Yeah. Real loud. Oh, I'd like to say hi to my friends from the Netherlands. It's been a while. From Door 54.
Door 54. Yep.
Yeah. So you can stream. You can stream. hear our voice all over the world. I don't know. You know.
When are they going to come visit us? We need to have one of these guys on the air. No, we need to have one of these guys on the air. Let's bring one in. And,
oh, my goodness. I think we'd rather go there.
Well, I'd rather go there.
Amsterdam? Come on.
Maybe the radio station will send us there.
Yeah. We should put in our application for that.
Our request. Our,
yes.
Our budget request.
Yes. So we have another beer, Colin. I know you like to hold out on your beer supplies on the radio show. This is a special, I guess, produced by Colin / student /
So I taught a 2-day course at Napa JC on brewing, and I really just wrote a really big outline of topics that we wanted to cover because I had no idea what level of experience people were going to have walking into this class. And I wanted the ability to change the level based on who I got. I didn't know if I was getting people that wanted to become professional brewers, people that had never brewed at all, or people that were advanced home brewers looking to get more knowledge. And that's what it turned out to be, people that had homebrewed a ton and were looking for some more advanced knowledge. So on the fly, I geared the class to them, and they picked a style, made a recipe, and we brewed a recipe. So they got 8 hours of theory lectures, and then we made the recipe.
And this is the beer.
And this is the beer.
And the beer is called, is that the name of it, or is that just the style? Did you guys actually name your beer?
We didn't name it. That was just the working idea was we wanted to make a hoppy amber.
And that is 5.6%.
5.6%.
And how did you like this beer that you guys produced?
To me, it's a little bit too hoppy for an amber. Okay. I like it. One of the things they wanted to do was use a hop that none of us had ever heard of. So that was kind of interesting. It's so new, it only has a number. It's like HBC736 or something like that. And they're just about to name it. I think it's going to – it got a Mexico name, and I can't remember what it's going to be. But they're just about to name it. They picked it because – they didn't want citrusy, they wanted melony, and one of the flavor descriptors in the flavor was melons.
So how would you describe how it smells? Does it smell like melony? It smells
not to me.
Kind of like malty or caramel.
Actually, to me, it's starting to smell buttery, which would be a diacetyl flavor flaw.
So you have a flaw in your beer?
I think so. And in this can, I didn't. 2 weeks ago when I canned it, I wasn't smelling it, but.
So you can tell by the smell if there's a flaw.
Some smells.
Because it doesn't taste that bad to me. It does taste hoppy, though. And
it does taste hoppy.
Has a little bit of a metallic at the end, which is.
Yeah, I would say I've picked up some diacetyl in the course of being in this can. I don't know if I picked it up during canning. I'll go back and taste one of the kegs because we still have about a keg and a half left at the college.
So how many of these beers did these students actually get to take home? Because I think that's the coolest part about it. It's actually you put your stamp on it, and then you get to bring it and bring it to your friends, your family, or
So part of the course was they got a growler that was labeled Napa JC filled with the beer. And then they got one of these crowlers, which is a 32-ounce can. And that was included in the course fees.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, are you guys going to do another?
Yeah, we're going to do it again this fall. We haven't picked the dates yet, but it looks like it'll be a three-time-a-year course.
Okay, so anyone that's out there just listening that wants to, maybe it's a home brewer. Seems like you got mostly home brewers that came to your...
Yeah, it was there were two guys that wanted to open breweries that had been homebrewing for a long time. And then the other 12 students were just advanced homebrewers looking to increase their knowledge base. And the the class sold out, so when we do announce it, get your seats early.
Yeah, make sure you're on the list.
Yeah, because we can only do 15. We did 14 this time, but we'll do 15 next time.
What's the duration of the class?
It's two Saturdays.
Just two Saturdays.
Yep, two full Saturdays. And then 2 weeks after the brew day, we bottle the beers. So it's a real quick turnaround, brew to serve. This was the first time the equipment at the college had ever been used. So we were literally building it as we went along, opening boxes, going, oh, where? How would we use this? Oh, well, we're going to use it like that. So the first one was a little bit of a scramble, but I thought it was good for everybody to see, you know, as we opened a new box, it was like, well, we could use this way, we could use this that way. So it gave them a bunch of experience instead of somebody going, oh, this is the only way to brew. Because really, as we were opening boxes, we had lots of options as to how we could utilize the equipment to best suit this beer.
Speaking of beer, Joe, which one would you like to see made at Downtown Joe's? Any specific style that we haven't done? Or what's your favorite beer that you usually drink? I know you usually tend towards an IPA, or sometimes we even blend stuff, which is pretty cool. That I know Colin doesn't like us blending a lot of the beer, but... I like to blend them every once in a while, just for something different, especially if you're there. Like Joe, you know, when he gets off work, he's drinking the beer for 25 years, the same stuff. So sometimes he wants something a little bit different. What's your perspective on, like, you know, blending beer besides, like, you know, the normal black and tan or half and half, or, you know, any of those blends that I see a lot of people like doing with it? We do have some cocktails now that also infuse the beer.
And in all that blending, personally, I only found two that I liked. I loved a shot of Chambord in the Raspberry Blonde. That was one of my favorites. And then the single IPA and the Pale Ale, I thought tasted well together. The one I really didn't like, I thought it brought out the worst of both beers, was the Triple IPA and the Pale Ale. I thought it brought out the worst in both beers. And people are like, oh, we don't have any double, and this gets the alcohol the same. And it's like, nah, it's all wrong. It was just too dry, and I don't know. I didn't like the blend at all.
I know that the triple is coming out soon.
Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have
a
date on that?
Triple dog dare you. I think he's brewed it, so it should be within 10 days from now.
So 10 and a couple weeks at the most.
It'll be available during the Bottle Rock week, I think.
Well, that's a good beer, a real good beer. I love the name also.
That's Kiel's name.
Yeah, he named that beer. Most of the beers at Downtown Joe's get named by customers. staff members, part of the brewery department, and the most of the logos that we develop around the beers get designed by John, you, Colin,
Keel,
Natalie, Keel, interested people that know some of the history of Downtown Joe's and can kind of say, okay, well, this is the next progression. This is the future. Let's try this logo. And one of the ones, my favorite, is the Porter, the Reebok Porter, because it's so tied to the Napa growing up here, Partridge Road, the cemetery at the end of Partridge Road that most of us as teenagers discover as a spooky place once we're out there and driving our own cars and discovering Napa. It's a popular place, and you guys captured that on the logo of that beer, and I think that beer really says the town of Napa. It's not Napa Valley. This is Napa City proper beer.
And the Reebok is considered the flying monkey of Napa, right? Or is it a wolf or a half human? I mean, there's a lot of different things. Half robot I saw online once.
Well, I didn't know anything about the Reebok when you guys asked me to work on this.
Yeah.
And so I did a lot of research. And one of the things I did was ask every generation of Napans that walked into the bar, hey, what do you know about this? And interestingly, it really starts when the cup and saucer gets developed and houses go into the cup and saucer. That's when you start seeing the legend of the Reebok. So the generation when the cup and saucer was all bare, over Silverado?
Alta Heights.
Alta,
kind of in between First Avenue and Third Avenue. And
I've never figured out where that is. So your mom's age, they knew about the cup and saucer, but they didn't know about Partridge Road and the Reebok's.
Right.
And then your generation, from then on, even the kids now know the story of the Reebok. And I was able to talk to, 7 decades worth of people about what they know about it. And one of the stories that was really fun is you'd get this girl, at this point, a woman who just swears she heard a Reebok on the top of the car, scratching the roof of the car. And then she'd walk away and some guy'd overhear the story and he'd say, yeah, we used to do that for our buddies. We'd sneak out of the car and scratch on their car. It was very interesting. So there not only were there different stories between the generations, but there were different stories between the men and women and how they felt about it. And
yeah, we drove up there. I mean, not to make out or anything, right, Colin? But we went out there for the project. We took some pictures out there.
Yeah, we took a bunch of pictures, and I needed to see exactly what it was. And we incorporated a lot of the road.
Yeah, actually, the
end, speed limit sign and the end of the road sign.
Someone had put, like, the end is near. And
we
put that on the logo, which was pretty cool. That was actually there. And we're like, yeah, let's use that, And then, that one is one of the better logos,
I agree. And we picked up one of the gravestones, one of the Partridge family gravestones. And
it's a great beer with a story. The growth when you get up there, the trees, they're not trimmed. They kind of scratch the roof of your car.
Right.
And if you park there and there's a little breeze, the tree is going scratching up there. And then
and there's big segments where it's so narrow that you have to, if you two cars run into each other, one's backing up.
Yeah, when you question people about the Reebok, I always thought it was like a squirrel bat animal, but some people think it's a monkey and other different descriptions of what this thing. Does it have a tail? Does it not have a tail? Does it have hands? Not have hands? And
the most universal description I got was a flying monkey, like Wizard of Oz.
Okay. Yeah, so a bat monkey.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's part of Napa's folklore, the city of Napa, and kids that grew up here, and it's a fun story to share with visitors that come in, and the beer itself tastes so good that it puts a smile on your face no matter what the story, how it diverts into another story.
Which,
That beer turns out to be the highest rated Downtown Joe's beer as well.
Yeah. So I was going to say to you guys, like, since we're all here and we all work, used to work or put our life into Downtown Joe's, like, what would your, my favorite beer is actually the Double Secret, and then it goes to the Rebop. Those are my one and two, like, depending on if I want hoppy or malty. Also, the wheat on a, you know, really hot day goes down really nice. The lazy summer, so... I was just wondering your guys' input on...
What's your favorite, Joe?
You know, being 25 years of drinking these beers, to me, it's a weather and a mood of my own. And so if I'm thirsty and it's a little hot out at that time, the wheat's my favorite. And then if it's a little foggy and I'm looking for a mouthful of hops, Tantric. So I go daily, depending on my mood, the weather... What's going on at home? A different beer jumps into my brain, and that's what I'll drink that day.
My favorite was always the Tantric. It was the recipe. I made the Tantric recipe up on my first day as master brewer at Downtown Joe's on July 4th of 2003 and brewed it on July 4th. And I made it because we didn't have a regular IPA. It was a once-in-a-while thing. And I thought that the style was going to evolve and that we needed one. And I made it, my only concern was it something I liked to drink? And it's always been my favorite of the beers. Except when I go to drink a beer, I always order a double. So I don't know. If I'm tasting beer, I taste the single. If I'm drinking a beer, I order the double.
Which is interesting from bartending. A lot of people will not jump up that extra, okay, like the Tantric IPA is a 7.5. They won't jump that extra point and a half for the double. They'll say no.
Tantric's 6.5.
Oh, 6.5?
Yeah.
Well, they won't jump up that extra couple points. And I'm like, for whatever reason, they think that's like super high. Well, you know, their girlfriend or wife or whatever is drinking a 13%, 19% glass of wine, and they don't blink.
But you don't serve 16-ounce glasses of wine either.
Yeah, normally that would not work.
Not for me.
Will not like that pour cost. But it just seems like, wow, it's just a little bit more. But they'll always go, like, oh, I'll just take the Tantric. I mean, most places you go in breweries and you have something that's over 9, they'll serve it in a tulip glass instead of the pint glass, which is, for me, a little bit of an annoyance when I go elsewhere. I like the fact that Downtown Joe's will actually put it in a pint glass. I was just wondering what your thoughts on that.
I think as high alcohol has evolved, you know, high alcohol beers were just unheard of 20 years ago, at least as big as 9%. You saw little barley wines or whatever that were aged for years and were kind of a different thing. But now that they're becoming a regular thing, I find more bars are willing to give you a pint. And 10% now seems to be the cutoff. After 10%,
yeah, our triple will not be in a pint glass.
You can't get a pint.
We do half points on the triple, just for anyone out there listening that's getting ready for it to come out, because it seems like a lot of people are always asking for the triple, and we do it once a year. So
I've always said, you know, if you're serving shots of tequila, give them any glass of beer they want. How do you feel about all the service standards in that regard, Joe? I mean, you're the one who makes a living out of it all. And
well, you know, it's important to not have people's blood alcohol spike in a hurry, because the reactions can be negative for that person and for everybody. So, you know, when we're serving a real strong beer, just put a glass of water next to it, and the person's palate and their brain will reach for that water and dilute what they're drinking so that they can enjoy it. Food is so important too while you're drinking. If you're not drinking water, you should be eating food while drinking alcohol, because you don't want your blood alcohol level to spike to where you get anxious, angry, or uncomfortable. And so it's a science. People that drink every day, they understand how it works in their bodies, but a lot of people don't drink every day, and they can get surprised by what they're doing, especially when they're coming to the Napa Valley. Maybe they're going wine tasting, coming into our place after wine tasting, and the effects of alcohol aren't completely understood by them. And we see that sometimes and do our best to help them by providing more water, more food, and getting their mood back to where it's stable, comfortable, and they're comfortable. So with the different high alcohol beers that come, there's a little bit of different way that you should handle it as an individual drinking them, and us as professionals serving them, a little bit more care and understanding of what we're doing.
Yeah, which is interesting because Joe's is pretty much the hub of downtown. I mean, we're right on the water. We get people that come from drinking at the winery, as Joe said. We get people that come from other restaurants that are coming there to listen to the live music, which is pretty much available every night. And we have people that just come in from another bar. So it's, as someone that serves the public on a regular basis, it's pretty much you have to have a quick read. And I've always been a good person to read somebody really quick to see what state they're in. But there are some real professionals that you cannot read. And, you know, I'm usually pretty good at it. But there are some times where one or two will get away. And then there's other people who have, like, you know, one or two drinks, and then their tolerance is very low, and they're not used to staying up all day out in the sun drinking wine. And then, you know, so it's just something you have to be very aware of when you own a business. And I think Downtown Joe's has been doing a great job because we have a lot of people who've been there for a long time, which is a great testitude to Joe for holding his staff together. A lot of people have been there over 15 years. This place has been open 25. There's people that's been there 25 years that are still on staff. So most of the bartenders are pretty well seasoned, which is good for me because I know I can trust my coworker and they can trust me, and we can handle business, and we usually can handle it ourselves, where most other bars need door people or bouncers. So that's really
it's work. It's not easy, but it's just part of what we do.
That's part of the job.
Oh yeah.
So Joe, we just have a couple more seconds after Mother's Day. We've got Bottle Rock coming. You guys always make a big presence for Bottle Rock. It's always a crazy busy, and then we're into summer season.
Yeah. Well, who gets the opportunity to meet 100,000 people every year in spring to become your future customers? We do. And so we're thrilled that Bottle Rock keeps coming back, and the venue itself inside just gets better and better and better. And we like to complement that with people coming in for breakfast and lunch before they go into the event, or coming out in the afternoon to get out of the sun and cool off and have a meal before they go back in for the evening portion of the event. And this year, last year, and the years couple years before, the Warriors happened to be in the championship at the same time as the Bottle Rock's going on, so a lot of people like to escape the venue for an hour to watch the game, and we provide that, so that's fun for us to get those concert visitors into our building. A lot of times people say, Joe, do you go into Bottle Rock? And I said, well, I really don't need to because Bottle Rock comes to me. and I don't get to see the acts because I'm busy meeting customers and serving customers. Most of my concert-going years were a little bit behind me anyway.
Joe, thank you for joining us. You've been listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts.
This is the Dan Patrick Show.
You guys ready?
Come on!
Can we play Melissa Stark with the announcement last night and listen how quickly she can't wait to get to Bob Lee's name and not say my name?
And the Emmy goes to Bob Lee.
Yes. Listen how fast that was. Like, not she necessary. Can't wait to rub it in. Like, that's all that was. Not even a... And the winner is... Don't know how this happened. Bob Lee from ESPN. Like, that's how it should have sounded. Yeah, Paul.
I disagree, Dan. She was pulling the Band-Aid fast. She didn't leave you hanging. Mm. She didn't do that little tug Band-Aid. She went...
And then she saw where you were sitting and kept looking over while Bob was giving a speech. She kept looking over at you, laughing.
I know.
And pointing, and then whispering, ball game.
She went ball scoreboard. Game.
She went scoreboard on you. Yeah. I didn't think that was necessary. That's unprofessional.
It was a rough night.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Love it. It's my favorite.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio.
Hola, mi valle.
This is Isela
and Gabriela,
your new hosts for La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela.
Tune in to 1440 AM KVON
or stream KVON.com on Thursday.